This is Phil Farrand. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I am done with my work week. It's time to go on vacation. I'm settling into this schedule. I'm not quite there because my schedule with Aiden... My schedule with Aiden is fixing to change here in a couple of more weeks, and so that's going to shift everything again, because I think in 3.5 weeks, in 3.5 weeks that Dustin will be done with his classwork for his paramedic stuff. And when that happens, I think everything kind of moves around. And I'm not sure if they're going to keep him scheduled on like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then weekends, every weekend, or if he's going to go to a normal fireman schedule where like it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. No, it's like, yeah, it's something like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then it's like 2 days, and then he's off like the next Friday, and then it's a really interesting schedule. It moves every week. So whatever he has there obviously will help out and fill in the corners and all that kind of good stuff. But if he does that, then that's going to free up certain days so I can do my running in the morning and yada, 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 and get all that done. And I do know one thing for sure. I have to get in more yoga. I mean, I just have to get in more yoga because I am starting to feel it. I haven't been consistent with that, you know, 3 times a week now for months. And I woke up this morning, I was like, okay, we're going to have to do something different here. Anyways, I do have a little drink in the car, so I'm going to wet my whistle. So, yeah, it's been a good week. Got some things accomplished at work in my scant 16 hours, but that's okay. Got that done. Had a nice Friday with Wonderful Weirdos Day. That's always fun. People like the colors, and it's my pulchritudinous pool noodle pterodactyl costume, and people get a kick out of that when I tell them it's a hillbilly costume. And so that's fun. I have so many things going on any given day that I lose track of how many days ago, but I landed the book last week, but I got the cover finished and I got everything done on that and all the files uploaded, put out my note to the beta readers last week, got all that taken care of. So, and then I officially started book 24 this week. So that was kind of interesting. You know, I created the folder. I knew from the beginning that book 24 was going to be called The Pearl. And it's based on, obviously, The Pearl of Great Price. So it was kind of weird to create that folder. Because, like, and there it is. This is the last one. So far it's going fine. You know, it's, the first part of the book is really catching people up, and I had considered not doing flashback scenes so that someone could just pick up the book and start reading just from where we left off in book 23, because 23 was a cliffhanger, because it was the penultimate book of the third set of 8 books. There was always a cliffhanger. There was one on 7, and then there was one on 15, and now there was one on 23, by design. But, you know, you get started with it, and it's like, okay, what happens if somebody just picks up book 24? You know, they just don't stand a chance unless you kind of weave some of the previous stories in, and so I've been doing that, which that's easy to write, you know. So I've been working on that. The first week is generally easy because there's a lot of synopsises of plots and those things that, you know, glossaries and characters and terminology and that kind of stuff that at this point are chewing up like 7,000 words. because they're long enough, and I only have to hit 10,000 words in the first week, so the first week is really just kind of getting your feet wet again. But it's been a short amount of time because I finished up book 23 like a week and a half ago. And so, you know, I haven't been gone from the writing that much. That's the glory of doing AI covers, is they're really fast. But got started with this one, so I'm cranking along on that one. I know where I need to be, and I know the story I need to tell, and I know major portions of what the story will be, so I don't really think there's going to be much trouble filling up another 450 pages. Because there's always side stories, and there's always interesting tales to tell, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the writing's going fine. Theoretically, come mid-November, I will be at 80,000 words for book 24. That means it's half done. Then I'll swing back over, and I will do the final production files for book 23. Get that uploaded no later than December 15th, and then have a little time off for Christmas, vacation, holidays, all that sort of thing. Doesn't seem possible that we're coming to the end of 2025. That's really amazing. So, anyway, so the writing's good. Costumes are good. I may have mentioned last week, I think I mentioned last week or the week before, that I was getting when it came to Love People Day. Love People Day was supposed to be a week from tomorrow, and it was a costume I'd put together really fast, and I think I've mentioned this already. It's an inflatable bear costume with a t-shirt that says Free Hugs on it. Should be Hugs, but it says Hugs, because bears love people too. They're crunchy, you know, boots. And it's a great holiday. Love People Day is a great holiday. It's great to talk to people about it. But the inflatable costumes present their own form of challenge. And, you know, because I can't make eye contact so much with people. But they're fine. I can make it work. It's just, you know. So when I looked at that again, I did kind of have down in my spirit. And that means that there is something else. You just have to find it. It's kind of a game. So I think I'd mentioned that, and that I had looked a couple of times for things, but I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't find it. So I'd gotten the files all uploaded, I'd gotten everything kind of squared away, I'd written the beta readers, I'd done all the things that I normally do. It was Saturday night. Didn't have any costumes to work on. My beloved was in California. And I thought, you know, I should just take one more run at this. Just to see. Because maybe I missed something. Maybe there's something there. So I flipped open the computer and started looking. Couldn't find anything. Looked at all the national calendar stuff, couldn't find anything. And then the thought came to me, you know, you should just type into Google what happened on September the 26th, what happened on September the 27th, what happened on September, you know, because I've got a range of days in there that I can slop around for. And I typed in what happened on September the 26th, and I should say, as I'm telling this story, that the events I'm about to relate, in fact, probably happened on the 27th, because it was the early morning hours of a shift that started on the 26th, that technically would have been the 27th, but that's not the way it's recorded. Eventually came across a day called, well, an incident that happened on September the 26th/27th. Later discovered that there was an informal Stanislav Petrov Day, and it's September the 26th, which happens to be the Friday. that I was looking for something. Ding, ding. So, hey, there it is. And then it was like, okay, what am I going to do for this? So what I ended up doing was I got on eBay because I did a quick search and then it was like, nope, this isn't going to work. So go to eBay. That was the next thought. And so I went to eBay. Sure enough, I found what I needed. I think, as I will mention at the end of all this, I think that in fact I found exactly the right seller for this. But anyway, so Petrov Day, Stanislav Petrov. This is an interesting story. And anyone who's interested in, just a second, let me see if this is something that I need to deal with. Because this is from Dustin. Told me he wants to go home, sleep, and then play tablet. I think the kid has been super tired lately. He might be going through a growth spurt! Exclamation point. So, I've mentioned that we've had a little trouble with Aiden. And he's been saying his teeth are hurting, and that's about six when kids start losing, you know, their baby teeth, and he's been a little groggy, and you know, so I think we're hitting some things there. Anyway, Stanislav Petrov. Really an amazing story. For those of you who want larger context, there are some really interesting YouTube documentaries. There's one that I was listening called 1983, and it was something about the year the world almost went to war or something like that, started World War III. A lot of really interesting things happening in 1983. Not interesting good, but interesting in it's amazing we made it through 1983. Because the year kind of starts out, the tone is Reagan gives this, not starts out, but early in the year, Reagan gives his evil empire speech. And from what they said in the documentary that, I will talk to Dustin after that. So the thing about 1983 was the year started off with Reagan giving his evil empire speech, that the USSR was an evil empire. And from what they said on the documentary, it really kind of offended the USSR. They didn't, you know, they were like, what is going on? And they took that to mean that the United States was putting a target on their back, including the use of nuclear weapons, because after all, the United States was the only country in the world that had ever bombed somebody with a nuclear weapon. Okay, you can understand that viewpoint. Okay, sure. So there's that. And then there were some stuff in June that kind of ratcheted up the tensions. And then there was war games that were done in November that really spooked the Soviets and brought us literally to the edge of the Soviets launching nuclear weapons against us. That's a whole interesting story. There was another incident, though, on September 26th, 27th, that the West didn't even know about until a general wrote his memoirs. A Soviet general wrote his memoirs in 1998, and that's where we get Stanislav Petrov Day. And so the quick synopsis of it is that Stanislav Petrov was in the USSR Armed Air Forces, whatever they called their air command forces. And he came in to do his shift. It should be noted that he wasn't actually scheduled to work that night, but the guy who's supposed to be working had gotten sick, and so Petrov was filling in for him. So in the wee hours of the morning, which probably is the 27th, Petrov is monitoring the satellites that are supposed to tell the Russians if there's a launch. Oh, I didn't check the mail. Hold on. I gotta go do that. So this, you know, this satellites are supposed to be monitoring whether there's a launch, and he's sitting there, and the alarm goes off. And I mean, it's like launch, 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 you know, and it's flashing and red lights and sirens and things. And as he's kind of looking over his equipment and stuff, then it goes off again and again and again and again. And before it's all said and done, he has been informed by the equipment that there's been a launch of 5 ICBMs from the United States. Now, at that time, the policy was mutually assured destruction with the appropriately named acronym MAD. And what was going to happen is that the Soviets had made it very clear to the United States, and the United States had made it very clear to the Soviets that if there was a launch of any nuclear weapons, that the other side was going to launch everything. And so now, Stanislav Petrov is staring at his console, and his console is telling them that the United States has launched 5 ICBMs. The good part is that Stanislav Petrov was an engineer as well as an officer. And as an engineer, he had seen that the early warning system had some problems, so he didn't really trust it. Nonetheless, it had reported what it had reported. And after the second one went off, he knew that it had reported up the line all the way to the, what do you call him, the president of the USSR, or the, I don't know what he's called. And, which means, I think it was Yuri somebody, I don't know, anyways. And so now, Petrov has to call his superiors, and he has to tell them what's going on. That's his job. And he's got a choice. He's got a choice. He has questions, but he doesn't know for sure. So he has a choice of whether he's going to just report what the equipment is telling him or whether he's going to say it's a false alarm. And in the midst of all the sirens blaring and alarms and all that kind of stuff, he decides that he is going to tell his superiors that it's a false alarm. Across the board, it's a false alarm. Now, he did try to check the visual, the optics, you know, from the satellite to see if he could see, are there missiles coming? Because he felt like that was going to be a lot more reliable than the radars and all the, you know, electronics. But he tries it, and it's right at the terminus between day and night, and there's light reflections, and he can't see. He doesn't know. Doesn't know for sure. And he decides, I'm going to tell him it's a false alarm. Period. He did say, you know, what are they going to do if I'm wrong? We'll all be dead. But if I'm not wrong, because he's an engineer, he's thinking like this. And so you have one man who is supposedly part of an evil empire that makes a decision not to report the launches as true launches, but as false alarms. And only later do they discover that there is a bug in the recognition software in the Russian satellites, that if you get high altitude clouds and sun bouncing off of them into the satellites, in fact, the satellites will read as if there's an ICBM launch. And Stanislav Petrov guessed correctly. In all likelihood, if he hadn't, if there had been another line officer and the line officer just said, that's it, they've launched missiles at us, In all likelihood, the USSR would have launched their entire armada of 40,000 nuclear weapons. Well, not that many because of strategic and tactical, but thousands and tens of thousands of nuclear weapons. And then the United States would have seen that and would have thought that it was a first strike, and they would have last launched their armada of 20,000 nuclear weapons, and it would have completely wiped out the USA and the USSR and thrown enough ash into the upper atmosphere to be pulled around the world by the stratospheric winds. And then at least the entire northern hemisphere would have been plunged into a new ice age. And of course, all our technology would have just been blitzed. So, what's the lesson here? We can sit around and we can call people names like Evil Empire. And we can identify all the people who are associated with that evil empire. But we just need to really, really remember that just because we slap a label on somebody because they're a part of something doesn't mean that's true. And thank God, Yuri Petrov, in the midst of alarms going off, kept his head about him and did not act like a slavish, obedient servant to the evil empire, but instead thought his way through the problem and did what he thought was right. And he turned out to be right. And probably because of that, we aren't living in a nuclear Holocaust landscape, if we would be living at all. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.